getting this to work. I'm going to just log in here and show you guys some stuff that I've stumbled across and the easiest way that I found to make it work. It is not any of my own content. This is more, I stumbled down this path. Here's the path I took. Maybe it's useful to you. I'm also going to go about this a little bit backwards because I'm going to break things in the process. That's always fun, right?
Did you slaughter sacrifice for the demo gods?
I mean, I'm using Callie up here for a demo that's kind of a requirement. Anyway, so once this boots up, this is just Callie. Some very interesting and enterprising people have decided that rather than spin up a separate Windows box to run the FizzBunch toolkit, they were just going to do it on Kali with Wine. And who am I to judge? Spin. Okay, so Kali, open up my terminal. Like I said, I'm going backwards here. Everything's all set up, it's actually working. Kind of sweet. They use Wine. In this case, they've created a Wine directory in the home directory. So cd Wine.
Charles, what's Wine?
FizzBunch. Wine is a Windows emulator for Linux and allows you to run Windows programs, applications, including, actually I'll show you a fun little thing here in a second, but including command.exe, and then the Python version 2.6 for Windows in order to run the toolkit. So it's a nice
like emulation.
It's kind of like emulation. It's a little bit deeper level because they're emulating APIs specifically. Does that answer your question? Yeah, I don't know how deep this rabbit hole goes. I'll keep going. All right. So
could you run Linux in it?
No.
Just like start a VM in
absolutely
there?
Absolutely not. You actually can't. This is my C drive on Wine, yay fun. There's a checkout of FizzBunch Debian, FuzzBunch Debian. And I swear I know how to type. We're going to go into the Windows portion. Okay, here's where it gets fun and interesting. First, I'll show you something fun that we have to do later on. Regedit.exe. Has anybody ran that on Windows at all? Registry editor?
Never.
Yeah? That's fine.
A few times.
This is it running in Linux, which might be blasphemy in its own way. But anyways, that's how Wine is. Like, we've got this emulated environment, right? We can run exes, like registry editor. In this case, I've got a much better resource for you in a minute. In this case, we're going to run Wine command.exe. We're going to actually open up a Windows command line. Now, because of the way it works, it's opening in the window. Yay, fun. Can you guys see well enough? You don't need to know exactly what I'm typing, but as long as it makes sense a little bit. Python fb.py. And we're running FuzzBunch. This is the end goal, right, to get to here. And then I can put in some IP addresses. 162. Default target IP address will be where we're targeting, I don't know, 174. Default callback address, this is where you want it to call back to. So we want it to be whatever the IP address of this box is. I don't know, I'll make one up. 2. Because I'm not going to go through the full exploit, but. Use redirection. In the stuff that I found, this actually is set to no. Don't ask me what any of this is. Again, I just got done stumbling down the path. I made it work. Yay, I'll figure it out later. Base log directory is where logs are stored. You can maintain multiple projects. Kind of seems like Metasploit, a little bit eerie. So we're just going to go with project zero, whatever. It asks about the log target, specifically the file that it'll log all this stuff to. Yes, yay. Most of these have defaults, which are in brackets. You can say, go ahead and accept the default. And then one of the more publicized ones, it's just off-center. Gotcha. One of the more publicized ones, you can use Eternal Blue.
What's that?
That is an exploit that was distributed with this. Do not use this on any PCs that are not your own or that you don't have the right to use it on. Standard security disclaimer, blah, blah, blah.
It ruined a few people's day.
Oh, yeah. Just a few, especially over the healthcare, you know, UK. I saw a couple of internal emails going around warning like all the normal users about it. That's how heavy it got, is people, IT people felt that they needed to inform all their users, every single one. So Eternal Blue is a packaged exploit with this. It's under the category of exploit, I think. There are different categories you can run. There's a ton of different ones in here. I only know this one because this is the one that I got to work. But you can then use this, and the reason that I need to get to work, to use Double Pulsar, another thing that's packaged, but that is an implant which creates a backdoor which can be accessed from the SMB protocol, which is very often wide open, because if you want Windows networking to work at all, you have to have SMB open. There's also a RDP variant that is less often used because RDP is often shut down, turned off entirely. Windows client non-enterprise have RDP off by default. I'm not sure about the enterprise ones, because I always end up turning it on. So we're going to use Eternal Blue. It's going to go through and prompt a whole bunch of stuff again. Prompt for variable settings. Sure, we'll go through the settings. Network timeout, 60. Target IP, we already typed that in. Target port, I don't know why anybody would ever run SMB on anything other than its default 445, but you can change it if you want. Verify target. Verify the target. I mean, there's help text for all of this, so you can kind of walk through it or stumble through it as I did. Either way, verify backdoor, as I mentioned, Double Pulsar, we're basically leveraging this to establish a backdoor in the system. Yes, true. Max attempts, 3. Groom allocations. This is much more complex, and I don't understand half of it, so I'm not going to go through it, but basically the way that Eternal Blue works is that it opens up an SMB version 1 connection, causes a buffer overflow. Again, disclaimer, all of this is probably wrong, I have no idea what I'm doing. Causes buffer overflow in SMB version 1, opens in SMB version 2, the next version of the protocol connection, uses that to then leverage the buffer overflow that happened in SMB version 1 in order to actually end up performing the exploit and getting ring zero access, so lowest level access on the box, basically. In order to do that, it has to do some interesting memory shuffling stuffs, and I think that's what this is related to? Again, no clue, but I got it working. Target, you can target XP, I guess, or Windows 7, 2008, R2, all kinds of stuff. Actually, Eternal Blue was just ported recently. There was a tweet, I forget this guy's handle, it's something dog, I don't even remember, but basically it's now available on a whole bunch more. Windows 8.1 and 2012 R2. Kevin Beaumont, Dossie the dog. So even better, but the version I've got on here, obviously XP and Windows 7,
2008.
Metasploit
also incorporated finally.
I'm sorry?
Metasploit actually finally incorporated.
Yes.
So you don't have to go out and do a
Ruby file. Yep. That's available too, but I didn't get that one working. I got this one working. This is an important thing. Mode delivery mechanism. Again, I have no idea what this does, but you have to pick one. Traditional deployment from within Fuzzbunch. I have no idea what the other one is. And this will execute locally like traditional Fuzzbunch plugins. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Actually, here, we'll have some fun and give this a go. This should be the right VM, if I guess the IP address is right. We'll find out. Let me let that boot up. It's Windows, so it'll take forever. It's not that bad. I mean, I don't have this full thing. I had the most creative password ever for my trash VMs that I just reset anyways.
We use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2.
That's the code to my luggage. Okay, so it's going to walk us through a couple of settings again, yada yada. Execute plugin has a readout there of all the settings that we went through and set. We accepted the defaults for most of them, so that's the show. Yay! We'll see. Error connecting to target. So no, I didn't enter the right IP addresses. But basically what you'd see here is a readout of it attempting to perform the exploit over and over again, and then a win or fail banner of whether or not it was able to actually conduct the exploit, and then put the implant in double pulsar in order for future remote ring zero access, just what you need. So that's backwards, right? This I've already got this done, it's already working. That's not the struggle that I really went through. Now I break everything and it'll be a blast. I am actually going to, you know what? Wrong VM. Why didn't you guys work? Here we go. This one, I'll take a snapshot before breaking. Take, and we go back here. Don't save, I just didn't save. So I've reset my VM, and basically what I did to get this working was two things. The first one, this is when you're going to want to take a shot of with your phone if you're keeping track for notes or whatnot, is I used this project on GitHub, Fuzzbunch Debian, in order to actually get Wine and the Fuzzbunch toolkit on Kali. And then the other one, which I'll have to create like a short link for or something, or you can just search for this. This paper, this PDF that was published, actually walked through how to then use Eternal Blue and conduct the exploit in order to make that work. And basically, this stuff is fairly trivial. Yeah, that's a fun little paper. But it's still something to kind of keep in mind that trivial doesn't necessarily mean easy, especially in hindsight, it's trivial. So here's the first twist. How to run. Ignore this entirely. This is after you install everything, you can use Fuzzbunch, which is the process that I sort of showed you guys. Wine cmd.exe, except for there's an extra twist up here that you have to actually tell Wine which instance to work with. But how to install, fairly straightforward. App update, app install Wine, win bind, and Wine tricks. Use dpkg to add an architecture designation. App get update, app get install. Start a Wine32 environment. This is what actually set up that directory. And then tell Wine that we're going to use that directory. You have to run reg edit, registry editor, because you need to add the path environment variable so you can just type Python, otherwise it won't know where to find it. Get the files from Git. Nice pretty file tree we don't care about. Install Python 2.6 and PyWin32. Another detail here, doing Wine tricks Python 2.6 will install both. Right there, it says that. Took me about 4 or 5 times rereading it to realize that that meant that Wine tricks space Python 2.6 would install both of these things, that I didn't have to figure out some convoluted solution to install PyWin32. It was taken care of. So, just so you know, stumbling again down the path. Run Fuzzbunch, this is back to where we were. So none of this stuff is complex necessarily, but there's a couple of things that trip me up. Long story short, you end up with this. You have implants, exploits, payloads, and all kinds of fun. And then once you have that, you can go through here, how to exploit, why Eternal Blue Double Pulsar, and it has much better information than I could ever provide, because again, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. Anybody have any questions? Anybody need the links? Anybody actually going to give it a try?
Are you trying this at work at all to validate that things have been patched?
What?
Are you doing any red teaming using this or anything?
Oh,
like that?
No. I work for BDS. This is where I do a plug for our software product Vision, which now detects double pulsar. Funny story.
Did you guys validate using this specific or using something else?
Multiple methods, but when I'm doing dev work, this is the most accessible method for me to validate against. I'm not the red team, so I stick to what I know, but I had to get some kind of a proof of concept up, and so I was able to stumble through this and figure it out. As somebody mentioned, I forgot already, it's in Metasploit as well. There's also, I also do have a fake SMB repeater that I threw together that I can ask it and it acts like it's got the implant, even though it's just a Python script. Because that was the first easiest way, and then I figured, you know, I might want to actually test this against some unreal thing. Maybe. Any other questions? Yay! That wasn't that bad, right?
So,
right?
See you guys for attending B-Side.